All right, cool. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, welcome to my lab. I can't remember if this is one of the labs you've been in before, but we've been in my lab a lot.
We've been in a lot of labs.
Yeah, and I've wiped your memory a lot, too. And my own, too, which is why I can't remember. The plot thickens.
Are you going to show me an egg? That's a great idea for randomization.
I know, right? Yeah, we're down here at the butcher, you know, in the butcher shop. Yeah.
Oh, butcher lab.
Yeah, no, this is a regular lab. Gary, I've done something that I think you're really, really going to enjoy. I have figured out how to animate a skeleton.
Oh, I am into that.
Yeah. And this isn't just the time that I showed you a flipbook of a skeleton doing a cartwheel.
Although yeah, it's just going to be a merry melody. Right. Like, it's actually going to be a real skeleton.
Right, right.
Once bit, twice shy, Ross.
I want you to yank this curtain cord, and we're gonna just take a look at this, okay?
Okay.
Wow, it shouldn't have been that hard. I guess there was you just pulled down the entire rigging. Gary Strong.
I've been working on my strong clown DNA injection. So,
man, I've been trying to get on Buffo's waiting list for weeks.
I am now Guffo.
but no, but
we can table that. Let me bench press this thing over here while you continue your monologue.
Yeah. No. So I've got this hoop here. We're gonna walk up. So the skeleton is just standing here.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you can see him kind of shifting his weight. There are no strings, as you see, as I demonstrate with this hoop.
Okay.
Yeah. And Gary. This isn't just me indulging your own personal, somewhat sick fantasies. This is me randomizing for the show. So,
sweet.
You know, I
no longer just my beautiful, sick, twisted fantasies.
I can do this again. So don't worry, but, okay. You'll see here, Gary, this is a morning star. I just want to hit this, Gary. I want you to hit the skeleton as hard as you can.
Okay. I'll do it. But if I do it, you have to promise to animate my skeleton.
Oh, Gary, like you're going to be co-hosting long after you die.
Co-hosting. As will I. okay, let me smash this this boy.
Okay.
Give me for what I'm about to do.
Oh, okay. Let's go over here. All right. So each of these bones has a different has a different letter written on it. So we're gonna take this. It's like playing Boggle. It's like playing Bone Boggle. Bongle.
You'll have to read it. All the strong clown DNA has taken away my ability to be literate.
Oh, okay. You know what? That is a worthwhile trade-off, I think.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So let's hear. I've got like a little bit of a word here. Gary, turn over that hourglass.
Hop.
Okay. CAS. Oh. Ooh. A Castlevania game. Interesting. Ooh. I wonder if this will be like.
How many of them do we get to play?
Okay. A Castlevania, and then it ends there.
Okay.
Oh wait, there's a number over here. 6-4.
Okay, so do we play Castlevania
64 times? I've probably played Castlevania 64 times in my life.
I'm into that.
Yeah. No. Gary, I think the skeleton is trying to tell us to play Castlevania for the Nintendo 64.
It's unfortunate, skeleton. I thought we were friends. Now jaw get rip.
Gary, jaw already rip. Jaw on floor. Jaw not attached.
Jaw smash. Bones. Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross. I'm happy to hear that you're not a strong dumb clown anymore.
No. It only happens when there's a full moon.
When randomization's about.
Yeah. It happens once every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's whenever I hear. I'm like Father Gascoigne. But this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play games that people dictate to us.
Yes, so this is a patron-demanded game. And I'm very happy that we got to this sooner rather than later because it is a definite blind spot for us. So Brandon Goodrich said, hey, I remember playing this as a kid. It may not be all that bad. And I need to expose the rest of this because that is not there. There we go. That is all. Yeah, but this is Castlevania for the Nintendo 64, also known as Castlevania Legacy of Darkness 0.75.
Yes. infamous game.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say. The Castlevania, that weird, you know, the Nintendo 64 is full of this kind of thing where, like, for every Mario 64 and Ocarina of Time, you got a Castlevania 64 or a Shadowgate 64.
I want to play Shadowgate 64 so bad.
Me too. It's really weird. Yeah. Like, it's not a Shadowgate game, really.
Right. It feels more like looks more like a Kingsfield kind of game. Honestly,
it's got some Kingsfield DNA in there.
Yeah,
strong Kingsfield DNA.
We can't just put this on the N64 though, because
all 3D Castlevania suck.
Right. Well, I mean, what is it? The whip one for the PS2.
The whip one.
Yeah, the Castlevania game with Lament of Innocence. There we go.
Yeah,
I like that one. So what's really? That?
That's okay. I said that's not so good.
Yeah.
I didn't like them. They're not like, they don't control terribly.
Yeah.
They're not very Castlevania.
Oh, Curse of Darkness is also okay.
They're just full of like dumb, shitty corridors. Like there's lots of like real boring mazes.
Yeah. It's a real like adaptation decay kind of problem. Like does this get what is good about this thing? I don't want to just lay this on the N64 though, because like this entire time, you know, in the mid 90s, of these, you know, franchises shifting from 2D to 3D was very problematic and very awkward, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
You know, we can't all be Goemon.
I will go to bat for Mystical Ninja 64.
I mean, that's not so bad. Yeah, I'm it's not so bad. Yeah. But yeah, every once in a while you get something like this. And like, I tried playing this when it was contemporary.
Okay.
With me and like just couldn't make it work. I find it like, it's not like saying it's so bad, like this is not, you know, an absolute trash fire.
I would have been way into this as somebody who liked 3D and 64 games, you know, like in the vein of something like Zelda.
You get knocked into pits too much to make it worth playing.
Yeah, and that's why I stopped. I was willing to extend this a lot of leeway, saying, okay, well, it's not like a platformer like Castlevania is, but you know, it is a shockingly competent character action game. But no, then all of a sudden they have you playing these platforming sections over a river where you die instantly with a character that seems to accelerate at random, like super happy fun ball.
It's really, really poor controls on this game. Like, it doesn't feel good. It feels like they get not enough done with, like, too many buttons.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want there to be more buttons, but there's so many, like... And part of that is an emulation problem. Like, I've never really successfully, like, joyfully emulated a Nintendo 64 game.
Right.
Like, you can kind of do it. I find the Wii is actually, like, a pretty good... Like, the Wii with the nunchuck attached is a pretty good, you know, substitution for a lot of this stuff.
Okay.
Playing it with my Xbox controller on my PC, it just becomes kind of like frustrating to remember how to do everything.
Well, it's
like you have to accidentally sliding.
It's a real N64 kind of problem, right? Because you have those C buttons, which feel like a third directional indicator, but no, like you just have to remember to map up, down, left, and right to whatever a face button would be.
Yeah, yeah. It's very tricky. And that's how you do like a lot of stuff. Like I spent a lot of time replaying this trying to figure out how to pick up things.
Oh yeah, there's like you have to press like where the circle button would be to pick things up when there is no reason not to pick things up. Like if I run over something, just put it in my inventory and show an indicator. Yeah.
And it's kind of not too I think I learned this from watching the Angry Video Game Nerd episode on this.
Yeah.
But it's a game with stages where you can miss things permanently and fail the game. So it's like there are stages, but if you don't happen to Roomba up everything you need, you can block off progress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this weird like amalgamation of like an open kind of Symphony of the Night style game and a stage-based Castlevania game. I think you're giving this a little bit more credit than I would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a trash fire, but I don't think it's very good.
Like I had fun fighting the skeletons. Like that first boss was pretty good. And I think that it does some pretty cool things with like auto target and like shifting the camera mode on the fly. It's a little bit clunky in terms of like, oh, now you're in adventure camera. Now you're in battle camera. Like if they just hid that information from me and they just adapted it to be a context sensitive camera, that would be good and cool.
I didn't like either of the. I don't like the way that it auto locks. onto things. Like I don't think that, and the way, so when you play as the lady in this, the way they get around that is, your missile is just home. So you don't actually have to aim at anything. It's much more fun to play as the whip bearer.
You mean Reinhardt?
Reinhardt. It's much more fun to play as Reinhardt in this. But it's still that lock on, like auto lock on things that just kind of lock on to the closest thing.
Right, right.
Are almost never my favorite and will always get me kind of killed. I will like accidentally, you know, I'll be running and then turn, you know, turn towards something and then the game will just make me turn back and then I fall off a cliff into the river. And then that's, you know, then I get impatient pretty quick with that stuff. But there's a lot of weird, like, it's like the combat is not, the camera doesn't match the combat very well in this, I think. Because there's some, like, weird demanding combat. You fight a lot of flying things?
Yeah, you fight a lot of flying things. Like, very, very early on, you encounter kind of suicide bomber skeletons that come at you.
Yeah.
That will just take away a quarter of your health. And a problem with that camera that you can't control is you'll just hear the tss, and then something's going to come at you from, like, way out of view. like that 3D combat doesn't work very well when you have deadly threats that can come at you, you know, from pretty much anywhere.
And like they kind of, you know, I can kind of appreciate this approach to it more than I do the PS2 ones, because those ones, you know, are kind of just like big action, you know, God of War style games.
Right.
Like even the early ones, like before it went straight up God of War, where you just use the weapon from God of War.
Oh yeah, with Lord of Shadow. Yeah.
With Lord of Shadow. Even the early ones are pretty much God of War. This one at least has a bunch of weird adventure game elements you know, haven't really been in effect since, like, and there's an element of that to Symphony of the Night, but it's more of a Castlevania 2 thing. And I can kind of appreciate that.
Yeah.
But the game doesn't, like, support it well enough. Like, I found it too frustrating to motivate, like, get around, locomote, and too frustrating to instantly die. And there's no checkpointing. Or, like, you have to save. You have to manually save.
Save at the white crystals. I like how you said locomote instead of saying traversal.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to bring locomote in. But, yeah, you have to, like, manually save, which just makes all these instant deaths feel, like, egregious to me.
Yeah.
The one thing I absolutely loved about it is the title sequence, which is that guy playing violin. Like, that's kind of awesome and stylish and weird.
Oh, yeah. Like, I just, you know, like, that is something that I think only Zelda has done in terms of, like, cinematic presentation. It feels very Castlevania.
Yeah, you know, like, it feels so appropriate. And the music is kind of good, too. Like, the violin playing, like, the sample loops in a weird spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the actual quality of the composition is kind of good. Like, I think that this game has a reputation for pretty good music.
Yes.
And I believe it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Why is there a time system, Gary?
Oh, I because what a weird thing. Like, man, games where it's just like, if you just don't do it fast enough, you just die.
Yeah, so
you don't get to know that.
So here's the thing: there is there's a clock in this. Certain people will not talk to you if you don't come to them at the right time of day. Certain enemies will be stronger at certain times of day. Mm-hmm. You have items that will advance either to dusk or dawn. However, if you do not beat the game, if you don't get to the final boss within 15 game days, within 15 copies of NFL Game Day 99, you get the bad ending.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Because the first part of that I'm so on board with, you know, like the day night cycle with enemies are stronger. Like this might be the weird abject suffering thing that like finally makes me think like, you know, at some point, Castlevania 2 has got to make it onto WoF. Like, I like that game enough, and it's tedious, but it's interesting enough to where, like, we should probably do it someday.
Man, I'm a Simon's Quest defender. Like, that is just fine. Like, and I would love to pass, like, just like, oh, we just have all three of the first Castlevanias on the show.
Yeah. It's a series that, like, you know, supports it. Because Castlevania 2 is very interesting. I kind of want to try the redacted version.
Mm-hmm.
That just like a couple of ease of use things like makes characters not quite lie to you.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still Castlevania 2. So it still has, cause people like talk shit about that day night thing, but the rhythm of that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I remember loving that, like as a kid where it's just like, you're out and it's like, I'm kind of don't have tons of health. And then it would turn into nighttime and it's just, oh shit. Like,
yeah,
I'm fucked. You know, yeah. That was like a really cool feeling. Like you're a little Dark Souls-y.
Well, that was a bizarre thing because I had that Russell Demaria, like Secrets of the Sages Nintendo book that was all like walkthroughs of, you know, popular NES games. And I read about Simon's Quest and just, you know, like front to back. That was the same book where I read, like, before I ever really played Maniac Mansion, How to Beat Maniac Mansion. Mm-hmm. That is such a formative book for me.
Yeah.
Like I remember learning to read so I could read A, game manuals, and B, that. But no, like reading about the day night cycle and being terrified of what that meant. And then when I played it, thinking like, oh, like this totally lived up to exactly that feeling that I had when I was a kid reading about like, oh, time passes inside the game. Not everything is static. Yeah. I fucking love Simon's Quest, man.
It's good. It's weird how it's scary and it's cool how they do the risk reward, like where enemies are kind of tougher, but you get more currency, you know, like, I'm way into Simon's Quest.
Yeah.
So that part of it's cool. The like might be nighttime and things get tougher. The time limit part without actually like telling you it is beyond shitty. And like they're probably astute listeners. They're like, well, but Gary, you love Fallout, and Fallout had that time limit.
I was going to bring that up.
But the Fallout limit, like one, you have to try to like reach that limit. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to do in that game because there aren't very many locations in Fallout. Two, they patched it out almost like immediately.
Right.
You know, so that they realized it was kind of a bad idea. The execution of it was not as, frustrating for one, but two, it's also they got rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like
they recognized that it was a bad idea or just not that it didn't serve the game as a whole.
Well, they should have just not made it an end state because the idea of like, oh, you send the water merchants to your vault that increases visibility. I think that's a cool trade off, you know, like I'm going to buy time on this one scale, but lose it on another. But it just shouldn't have been an end state. It should have been like you get a bad ending. You can still play the game. You know, or you still do everything you need to do, but when you go back to the vault, it's everything's destroyed and the game doesn't end. Like that would be a cool like third ending, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anywho, that little thing that's, you know, what's weird is we were just talking about Alex Kidd, and one of the Alex Kidd's games has that as well. I think it's one of the exploration-y ones. Maybe it's Shinobi World, maybe it's Lost Stars. I could be misremembering that, but I thought I remembered seeing that too. And just like, man, what a shitty mechanic that is.
Yeah.
You know, because what's the best possible scenario there? Like you start over and you do everything a little bit quicker. Like that's a bad best possible scenario.
Yeah. No, I don't want to have to replay your game. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I don't want to. Nothing is like unless I'm choosing to replay it from the top.
Yeah. Unless it's like I'm going to start Dishonored 2 over again the second I reach the end.
Yeah. I don't like, at some point, like I got really annoyed with the idea of like actually losing progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is weird again, cause you know, I love Dark Souls, but like at some point with a game that's not as intentional about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Dark Souls, it feels like it's built into the loop. Whereas with a bunch of stuff, like, you know, like I would feel even worse about like an adventure game, like a Sierra game where like, oh, fuck you. You didn't pick up the aspirin in the beginning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking about the Hitchhiker's Guide at that point, but
well, yeah. Or you, I mean, they have like Space Quest
or
whatever has that as well, where you like, don't pick up the glass shard or something like that. That's rough.
It's just a bad ending versus a good ending, but you know, theming matters.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing is like when you don't know that the reason why this thing, that mechanic sucks is you don't know that you fucked it up until too late.
Right. Right.
And I feel like that's a generality of like a bad game design thing. Mm-hmm. That's why I can't play Settlers of Catan. Like, I don't know that I'm playing badly until it's way too late to do anything about it.
Yeah.
So it makes it really hard to learn that game. Like you learn in an iterative sense rather than like actually in the game itself.
Yeah. In the moment, like you can't like course correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And that drives me nuts.
Yeah.
So
I love the enemy design in this game. Actually, I think that this game doesn't look bad. Like Reinhardt looks like a fucking linebacker and that kind of turns me off. But like, you know, like this is a good 3D skeleton, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, and then when they get in the motorcycles, it's even stronger.
Yeah. Like, it's the fucking 1800s or whatever.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yep.
Into it.
Yeah. And the Were-Tiger, actually, I liked that fight a lot because it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, the giant skeleton looks really good too. Mm-hmm. Just for fighting a huge, you know, huge enemy right off the bat.
Like, yeah,
Castlevania games are good at doing that kind of thing.
Yeah, and so for some reason in my head, I thought this game was earlier than it actually was. For like, this would be I thought this was like a '97 game, and I was like, holy shit! Like this actually is a really impressive achievement. But it's '99. Like people had worked out the N64 by that point a little bit.
Yeah.
Although this wasn't an expansion pack game, I don't believe.
They had that weird sequel too. Like the sequel to this, that's just like the same thing, but a little bit, you know, more complete.
Yeah. Like it's this weird thing where it feels like Castlevania 64, the initial one, was rushed out. Like, hey, we've got to do something and we're just going to get it right with the half sequel that adds like maybe two more characters, but still does basically the same story.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. It's not terrible. Yeah. I'm with you in that. It's not terrible. It's one of those things though. It's like a curiosity that like I couldn't get too far into when I was younger and definitely can't get into now.
So what I'm thinking about, you know, playing this and then looking down the barrel of Symphony of the Night, right? Like both of these games are departures from what Castlevania was before this, you know? I think this falls farther afield of Symphony of the Night and is not additive in the way that it goes, because what it loses is precision, you know, just by dipping into a third dimension that it doesn't really need. And it introduces sprawl, but still tries to keep the platforming intensity in a way that is like deleterious to any fun that I had with it. Like I died on that like fucking river gorge twice. And
yeah.
Like, well, I'm done. I played for 25 minutes. I don't care.
Yeah. It does that, which is 100% true. It also does a thing where, and it's not terrible about this, but it's something that like on the Slack, we're talking about Thief One, where 3D exploration based games that are prior to having a level of graphical fidelity where you can kind of have like stuff.
Landmarks.
You know, like landmarks. Like landmarks are so important to navigating 3D space, to where it becomes just like a huge bummer. You know, at some point, and this, the castle in this game, like, I remember this from when I was younger, like, you get lost like this. Like, it is demarcated, but, like, and the levels do have kind of, like, verticality to them that helps you kind of tell them apart.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they reuse a lot of assets. Like, the spiral stairs that go up with the Sense Fortress blades that drop down happen multiple times.
Yeah.
With some kind of minor variations on them. And it's, like, it's very easy to just kind of forget where you're at in space.
Yeah,
like Soul Calibur shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big deal.
That happened. It was very reminiscent of my experience playing Quest 64 or the Aiden Chronicles for the game, where it's like, okay, like it was a little bit like trying to plug in a USB plug, where it's like, okay, I have to try this three or four times because I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Okay,
you're right, but you don't do it. You don't execute it correctly.
Yeah,
et cetera.
And so, like, if you charted this on a map, you would just see me running in this weird oblong circle over and over again.
It'd be like a family circus.
Yeah. But at least Jeffy gets to a goal.
Ghost Grandpa would be looking at you playing Castle 64.
God, family circus is so fucked up.
He'll tire himself out eventually. That's the fucking punchline.
Like, why is a ghost saying this?
I also have no idea.
oh man. Yeah. Castlevania 64. I don't know. Did you find any Game Packs Gold? Because I have a couple things, but they're not really that great. Like, I could pontificate about Symphony of the Night and this more, but like that is not an original point.
No, and it's all stuff we could talk about in the Symphony of the Night episode.
Oh, right.
Off, which we're gonna record not for too long. The not really. There's like a review where the title of the review is, please open your hymnals to page, oh, forget it, God's not listening.
Yep, I like that.
That I'm right into that. Like, yeah. Like, oh shit, we just got real.
Yep. there are a couple of things that are recurrent on the board for this. So this is a very active board for a game of this vintage. First off, there are people who think it's really, really funny to say that I wish blank was in this, anywhere from Jack Black to Iron Man,
okay.
which is bizarre to say.
I saw that. And the responses are all just like, lol. Yep. Armor rules.
I don't get it. Yeah.
I wish Tekken was in this game. Who's Tekken?
That's kind of funny. I wish Tekken was in this game. It's pretty good.
Yeah, when Alias fought Tekken.
There's
the Jack Black one has two pages.
there's somebody who keeps on posting the YouTube versions of their, or the YouTube videos of their piano covers of songs. which they're okay. Their piano covers of video game songs. But this one guy, Mjolnir Falls, he posted, "Hey, I've got this." And, you know, I wanted to share this with people. Like, hey, get out there, promote your stuff. But JSO13 Basic says, and then Mjolnir Falls says, "Thanks for checking it out." And then JSO says, "You're welcome."
Ridiculous.
And then finally, just the huge stripe of people expressing a lot of affection for this game and for the characters therein. I want to play Reinhardt in a new game. Topic: Princess Magical says, "Yeah, he's awesome. We need a real sequel to these 64 games instead of the 3D crap they've been making since." And when I say sequel, I don't mean a Devil May Cry or God of War ripoff. I mean exactly like the 64 games in every way.
Yes, that's a good idea. In every way.
In every single
sequel should be that.
I will brook no movement.
Dude, that's ridiculous.
There's a fact writer named, let's see here, A. Hartley, who had a very similar problem to the previous fact writer we talked about, who talked about just the curse of popularity, how they were doing facts for all of these different games, and then they became the person that everybody went to. After writing my first walkthrough for Mega Man Legends, I discovered two things about writing a fact. If you devote enough time to it, it can be a breeze. Two, if you become the center of attention for that one game, any and every question goes to you. And so he decided to, like,
oh, man,
to start writing facts for games that weren't popular enough for people to come to them.
So it's like when, what's the name? Why am I forgetting it? Crosby, Stills, Nash, Neil Young. That was not a joke. I can't remember Neil Young's name. It's when, like, the
That's
Neil Young
absurd,
made
absurd, Gary.
No, I know. It was on the tip of my tongue. I couldn't get it. When Neil Young made Trans, and he did it to, like, fuck over his record contract.
Right.
Like, this is very similar to this fat guy, who is like, he's like, I'm just gonna do for obscure things to screw over my waiting audience, who just expects me to make commercial facts.
We've talked
His
about
facts
this.
Have gotten too mainstream.
We have to have talked about Trans, right? A, it's a very good album. B, it's a heartwarming story.
Yeah, about his autistic son.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it's pretty good. Yeah, well, that's also, we did like this Pepsi's for you or whatever, this ads for you.
Okay. Yeah.
The weird Neil Young, like, anti commercial rebellion.
But, yeah. I need to check and see if that's available, because I think that might be something you can only get in bootleg now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go through all the facts because there's a lot of them, because this is a very
so
popular
many.
Game. Like, so this is one of the more popular games we've done for this show.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
Like,
so,
and even and critically acclaimed too. Like, the reviews, like, there are a couple of people who are like, this is bad. Lots of 4 and 5 star like love for this. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, and I on what level I can get it, right? Like, it's a little bit of the Buck Bumble appeal, you know. This is an N64 game. This might have been some people's first inroad into this series, you know, like looking for 3D action style games on the N64, which is just the system that they had, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I can't say anything about that because my first Metroid game was Fusion.
The is there another series that is quite this, like, schizophrenic as far as you know, kind of a genre like this, like a series that
Alex
is
Kidd. No,
Alex Kidd is pretty weird, but there are different kinds of platformers,
right?
Like Mario, if you consider like Mario Tennis and those things to be Mario games, like, yes, but if you just Mario, it's like there's 2D and then 3D.
That's a strange technicality. And Mario has never been as prolific as Castlevania is.
Yeah,
like Castlevania is prolific in the way that only a third party series could be.
Yeah, like Mega Man is.
Yeah,
you know, and Mega Man is a weird series. Like, you could get into like one of the Battle Network games and then be like, "What's this? I like this." And then you play Mega Man Legends, or like, "Oh, what's this?" And you play the NES ones.
Yeah,
but not quite as much as like Castlevania, where you've got, you know, on the NES you've got action games, the weird side-scrolling RPG, then Symphony of the Night likes, then 3D Castlevanias, then like the super Devil May Cry, God of War, 3D Castlevania. Yes. Yeah. You know, it is a rich series in that way, in a weird way.
It really is. Like, there are an awful lot of inroads to it, but I'm not sure they share enough of an ethic between them to where, like, you could jump between them. Like, you know, I don't know if there's enough of regular Castlevania in Castlevania 64 that would lead somebody to something else.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, and even that's even true of the you know, Symphony of the Night likes too.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
like that doesn't have very much in common with like the NES Rondo of Blood.
No, just a perspective. You know.
Yeah, and that's but the gameplay, like one of the things, you know, we're doing Symphony of the Night is like Symphony of the Night is so easy.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, for a series that is kind of made to be tricky, Symphony of the Night gets hard at like two spots.
Right.
You know, like it is an incredibly easy game. Yeah.
Like it offloads its complexity from the moment to moment to this larger kind of like meta navigation kind of yeah. thing. You know,
where there's complexity, but not really challenge.
Right. I think that's a worthwhile trade.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I love Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
It's a very different kind of thing. So like the person who plays Symphony of the Night and then plays Castlevania 3 is just gonna feel fucked.
You know? Man, people on the Slack were talking about Order of Ecclesia. Man, I fucking love Order of Ecclesia.
Order of Ecclesia is really good. That's like the marriage between the two types of Castlevania.
Yeah, and just like that may be my perfect Castlevania game.
Order of Ecclesia is very good. I think it's the only one of those that like stands up to Symphony.
Yeah.
Like I like Dawn of Sorrow. Like I like the other ones. Mm-hmm. There you could even the worst one, like Circle of the Moon, is still a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like the floor is very high for those, but mm-hmm. I don't think any of them are astounding.
Right.
You know, like Aria of Sorrow is not astounding.
Right.
You know, it's kind of good, but I mean, and this is just me like resenting the like Alucard is an in canon Bishonen fuckboy, and then the fact that they just like we need like grab the Bishonen fuckboy lever that they borrowed from not Crisis Core, from Advent Children, and then just like cranked it up. You know, let's get more of these guys.
Some of these boys need to be fucked. Come on, these boys ain't gonna fuck themselves. Like we both said the same thing.
Oh man. Yeah. But it's true, right? Like it's, yeah. So it feels like where it's like you get that little like white haired kid from Dawn of Sorrow and it's like, oh man.
You mean Soma?
Soma. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like Neo Tokyo that has been transposed. It's like that even story wise, like the Castlevania games have no solid through line.
Oh yeah.
They're pretty much nonsense.
And no ground to stand on whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense. Like good nonsense.
Yeah.
But real nonsense.
I don't know. Like I've never played a Castlevania game that I've regretted is the thing. And like there are definite blind spots. Like, you know, they're like like that Wii fighting game where one of the plot lines is that the female protagonist wants bigger breasts.
I totally forgot about that game. That was supposed to be really terrible. Like I kind of wanted to play it, but I've totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Don't you like fly in it? It's like a fighting game, but you're like flying. I remember it having a little bit to do with that Final Fantasy fighting.
It's
game.
like a Power Stone kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, you play as the succubus who wants the succubus.
Yeah, you want the succubus who wants succubus.
Succubus.
No.
It's like a man. So the other day, since I've been on vacation, you know, my habits have been disrupted. Oh, yeah. And the other day, since I got home, I was browsing around on the old porn web.
Okay.
Online.
All right.
And there's a thumbnail and a porn production company called Dog Fart Productions. Like, no, never in a million years.
I wish you wouldn't.
I wish you wouldn't. Yeah, this is more or less like just like what is the cost benefit of like clicking that? Like what is that's such a risk? You know, like. Like anything that's a dog fart production, I'm not down with. Like,
which, like, okay, so entirely divorced from the situation, I've never come across a dog fart production in my own travails. But like, I could see, like, oh, we just want to be like irreverent and goofy and whatever. But how if you look at the taxonomy of a lot of this stuff. Most of the production companies and most of the titles, God, I feel so sick that I am talking about the logistics and habits of porn streaming stuff. Oh God, Gary, I'm getting dizzy. Oh boy.
It's too late now. We
talked about it in the Animorphs thing. It's very hyper literal, right? Like,
yes.
You know, like there will be like, ooh, sapphic delights. Okay,
yeah.
I kind of know what I'm getting in that.
Yeah.
All of the titles are, you know, adjective noun, adjective noun, verb, things. Adjective noun. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. The thumbnail was a glory hole video where a guy had put his entire cornucopia.
Yeah, the whole block and tackle.
Yeah, it was very. Seems like a very risky move to me.
Yeah, I think that kind of inherent in the glory hole fantasy is rapid. The avenue for rapid egress.
Yeah, like you had an escape plan. Yeah. What's your exit strategy, Bush? Like, get out of there.
It's to get my Bush out of that fucking hole.
Yeah. Woof. Huh. But yeah.
Yeah, but somebody decided to send his balls along for the ride.
Yeah, just in case they want to, you know, see what Sap do. But like, I don't know. I feel like that's not worth the risk. I should start writing like the combat, because I don't know if you've ever, like, when you're looking at porn, you look at the people do comments for some reason.
Every time.
And the comments are always like,
well, they're writing to the girl. They're writing to this. the featured talent.
I would do this, or like, that makes me want to do this. You know, it's part of their like masturbatory.
Yeah. Kind of yeah. Like, when the breasts came out, ooh boy.
Yeah, exactly. Hot dog. But I want to put write in a thing about, to this Dog Fart Productions video about, just like, you know, a cautionary tale about doing that, where it's like, I did that once. Now they call me Uno and I can never look back. You know?
Now they call me Uno. God, what a weird, you know, just I'm not a sex negative person. They're obviously at parts of pornography production that are problematic, you know, exploitative. What a weird world it is, where all of that is just at our fingertips. I know that is up like, oh, the world today is just nuts kind of thing, but like, oh, like I can just like, it's big data optimized tag searching, kind of like I never have to see anything that doesn't completely jibe with my preference. That is so bizarre. And you know, I remember Woods porn, you know.
Yeah. Like, and it just, you know, I think we talked about that Woods porn kind of thing. And
it's
any port in a storm kind of porn.
Right.
And now just the idea that it's like literally anything I want to see done to anyone, I can see it.
Yeah. It's unsettling.
It's one of those things where like having the sum total of human knowledge at your fingertips is like weird.
Yeah. And it's like whenever a villain or a character, whenever a character in media starts talking about like, I've looked into, you know, the patterns that I've observed is everybody's trying to mate, you know, this happened in Westworld, right? Like, oh, just everything is a mating signal. Like that's something, that's a villain thing to say. Like nobody good ever says that. But then all of a sudden you look at the sum total of all of these technologies that have come up around cranking bones and like, oh, we're all fucking villains.
It is like, again, it's a tough line to go through, you know, because it's you know, you don't want to be sex negative. And like the actual sex workers involved in porn and stuff, that I most respect, it's a job. Yeah. Providing a service, that's great. It's the industry, there are elements that are definitely exploitive and gross.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't feel good about.
Yeah.
You know, except for that
moment.
Well, yeah, I feel good about it for about 15 seconds and feel deeply shameful about it. I try to, you know, it's one of those things that I was talking to one of my friends when I was back home, and we're running a little bit long here, so this can be a quick tangent, but, I think that like the fact that all porn is free now, the harmful part about it, is that I think that there is like every once in a while, I will see something that is about like ethically produced porn that sounds hotter and better to me. I just can't get over that kind of like, this should be free.
You're leaving a one-star review for the porn equivalent of Super Mario Run.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's exactly like, oh, like I paid too much to watch this dog parts. DFP. So like there's a Erica Moen who does a web comic called Oh Joy Sex Toy.
Okay. That's like the sex toy review thing, right?
Yeah. And it's great. Like she's wonderful. She's really funny. There's people of all kinds of different body types. It's like there's a very intentional without being cloying version of that. Like it's like, oh, every once in a while there's like an amputee who's drawn, and it's still like not, you know, there's no attention drawn to it. It's not drawn. It's still drawn to be sexy. Like she's great. Like utmost respect for her.
Yeah.
I was reading it and she was talking about is like, oh, this like LA, kind of porn, cabal thing, like a production company,
cartel.
Yeah. And she was saying like, it's just what they do is they just, put a camera in a room and just find kind of young alternative people, and they just fuck in this room with a camera in it. And it's not like, you know, they joke with each other, they hang out for a little while first, you know. It's like that does sound hotter and better to me than like this glory hole stunt that fucking dog parts are putting on. You know, like this does sound better to me, but I just can't, like, it's like, oh, it's $10 a month for as much as you want. I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah, like I subscribe to Netflix. I support a bunch of Patreons.
Yeah, like I've got my monthly, you know, I can't justify that when I'm only giving like $5 to the ACLU.
Right.
You know, like I can't get slightly better spank material, you know. So like we're in this weird spot with it where it's like, yeah, it's, well, not the best,
but it's like,
but it's everywhere.
But so yes, it is SEO optimized, but like you can't SEO for like, oh, are these people having fun? Or like, yeah, are they laughing because, yeah, sex is fucking farcical?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's a, huh.
Dogfart.com, the complete dog fart series. don't go there, guys.
Nope.
But you can follow them on Twitter.
Oh, cool. So I can get up to the minute updates.
At Dogfart Network. Followers, 116,000.
Jesus.
I'd never even heard of dog fart. There's a guy here who has two of those big like knuckle things, those golden knuckle rings that go across your entire knuckle. And one's just dog and the other one's just fart. He's just like punching forward and says dog fart. Like, what a fucking weird thing this is.
That's pretty good.
Don't go there. There's lots of porn on that page, of course.
So. Well, yeah, it's a porn production company.
Yeah. Huh.
But, yeah, that's upsetting, Gary.
It's very weird. Oh, here's the video I saw. It's on their Twitter. There it is. It's a 30-second little looping thing of this girl masturbating in this. Man, now that I'm seeing the actual looping thing, there's three glory holes in it. Oh my God, Cole. Like the dick comes out and then goes, after a while, comes back in, and then it comes out another glory hole.
Oh, so it's like that fucking wall from the Great Muppet Heist.
Yep. Man, what the hell, dog fart?
This is barely related, but since you talked about an alt comic thing, check out Meg Mulligan Owl.
I've looked Meg Mulligan Owl. Mm. That shows up in the comics thread.
Oh, so we've both seen it. Yeah, yep.
I think that is at times too dark and nihilistic for me.
Oh wow, that's weird. I bought all the books. I love it.
there's a weird like thing where this is not me trying to shame you about it. There's a weird, and this is probably colored my first impressions. The first one I read that was on the SA board had like them inviting somebody over to like rape the main character.
Oh no. Yeah. I haven't read that one.
And like, I'm not, again, I don't think that's necessarily indicative of the entire thing.
Yeah. No.
It was just a strong first impression where I was like, ah, geez, guys.
Yeah. That's like, a bit much. I haven't seen that one. No, I've enjoyed that as like, this is fucking dark and weird and alt. And I like the art in it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the art a lot too. There's a weird one where the cat character wants to have his ass eaten and like by the witch, and like puts a piece of saran wrap over it. Yeah. And then like the cat gets a worm on her tongue because he's got worms. Like,
yeah.
It was, I think that it's possible that it's good, but the essay thread does not have good taste in.
It doesn't surface the right things. Yeah.
I think that's probably true.
I found it through that, and I initially scrolled past a bunch of them because like, this is long and there's a lot of words. That's not what I go to that thread for. But I eventually fell into it. And yes, that kind of like gross and weird stuff is there, but I very much enjoyed reading the books. Yeah.
I believe that there is some stuff that is not just about eating the assholes of cats,
right?
So I believe that it's probably more diverse than that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that thread, but that's where I found that. I found out about it. Yeah.
Definitely don't mean to call you out or anything. Like, there's like the worst examples of stuff that I like too. That's like makes it sound awful. I had when I went back home, I had the experience of showing my friend like some birthday boy sketches.
Oh boy!
And he just sat there and stared at them like, and it was the worst. Because I was like, and there were ones I thought was funny too. He just hated it, and I had that whatever that experience is, where you're just like,
he's keeping the beat,
he's keeping the beat, and then he was just like, that was fucking painful. I'm like, oh jeez, dude, like, Christ, Austin, calm down.
I still want to be your friend.
Exactly. Don't judge me based on the fact that I love the birthday boys. Who? This was dictated by Richmond. Rich Good, Good Rich.
Yes, this was Rich this was man, recommended man, by good. By Brandon Goodrich. Thank you so much. Since I want to do this as well, recommended by Robert, who says this is a strange attempt at some sort of platformer survival horror hybrid that is interesting, but that snuck up on me. I was making fun of you.
If you planned Robert. It, you'd be incredible.
I know, right? This is a strange attempt at some sort of platformer survival horror hybrid that is interesting but bad. The other N64 game is a director's cut slash remake, but you should play the original because it has a lower TTS, Time to Skeletons.
That's Time to Skeletons is excellent.
Yeah. So. It's right away. Also, yep. when the lightning strikes those trees and they fall down, that is very atmospheric and good.
Yeah, it is actually pretty good. So,
yeah, I'm sorry it belched during your comment.
I think good job. So thanks everybody. If you want to, the reason that Rich Goodman guy was able to dictate a game. Was because he is a patron at a certain level. If you go to patreon.com/StuckBTV, you can check out all of the rewards and what tier they're at and the like. And you too can just dictate a game. So we would appreciate you doing so. And we like playing things that people force us to play because every once in a while we get weird tangents that we don't expect.
Yeah.
That maybe wouldn't have happened if it was something we picked.
If you enjoy the show and you think you have listened to them all, you probably haven't.
Listen, Buster.
You got another thing coming.
Yeah.
No. Go to duckbeat.tv/store. There are all kinds of premium episodes, not just of this show, under the Exquisite Suffering label, where we play games people vote on. But also there are like things that are similar, like Adaptation Decay, where we talk about bad or misguided video game adaptations that people really seem to enjoy. All that is there. Again, duckfeed.tv/store.
Yeah, recommended. And then, you know, of course, ratings, reviews, things like that.
Yeah.
That you know. So thank you very much. And until next time, who is Dog Bart? Who is Zoo Dog Fart Productions?
Oh no.